grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in.
Brought to you by The Hemp Store at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.
Do it, man.
I love this intro.
It's so good.
Every time I listen to Shaq's show, I'm like, yeah, this is such a good, like, I mean, perfect song choice. What are you talking about?
This should be like an intro awards.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Yes. Why is it not?
We've got our first nomination.
Yeah.
Speaking of awards, though, and by the way, hello. And kia ora, everyone. We all had a day off, or hopefully some of us did. And for the king gave us a day off, right?
Yeah.
To honour some fine, upstanding people of the community. And I'm sure there were many worthy people. But among them, I shouldn't say but, because some people might think this is worthy too. So if you think back to the days of the last government, one of the things they did was give the pioneer of substance checking in New Zealand, Wendy Allison, gave her an award, the Member of New Zealand Order of Merit. And and that was incredible, really. It was the first time any government had given an award to someone working for drug harm reduction or that kind of thing. And under this government, though, we're getting an award to the designer and implementer and developer of New Zealand's drug testing industry. And this is Sue Nolan, who used to work at ESR back in 1992 when they decided to go around saying, hey, this is how you make your place safer, by taking the piss off your workers and testing them.
So not drug testing as in making sure your drugs are what they are?
No, not for safety, more like for getting you fired or imprisoned.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for that side. And so it's kind of like a sign of the times, I guess, under this current government, that's who gets an award. And so I shouldn't go on too much about that, because it might get me into trouble. But certainly, in my opinion, I think, I guess it's because the saliva testing is coming in. She's on the Technical Standards Committee for the Saliva Testing and Urine Testing Standards for New Zealand and Australia, and appears as an expert witness in court for the prosecution, and things like that. So I'm sure very worthy. Very worthy. It's the same award, by the way, the Order of New Zealand.
Strong in the knack.
Order of Merit, I should say. The New Zealand Order of Merit.
Yes.
Yeah.
You said that, Nick, not Chris.
I said that. That's me.
Yeah.
And speaking of testing, though, this is very topical with the driving thing as well. So just this week, we've often heard how these, the swabs and the kind of the procedure, it really comes from Australia, right? They've been doing that for a long time. It's the exact same devices that they're using. And that's caused a lot of problems there with people being prosecuted or aren't actually impaired, particularly people who are using it medically, under a doctor's supervision. So New South Wales has passed a law this week to bring in a medical, much more than a medical defence even, it's a three strikes approach to driving. So, and I believe, from understanding from reading it, this applies if you have a prescription, and for the first three times, it will just be some sort of warning. They'll stop you and do a tongue swab, and then you're like, oh, but I've got a prescription, and it's like, okay, that's your first strike. So I'm not quite sure how
that seems quite random. Convoluted.
Yeah. And if you're an ongoing medical user, what if you get caught every week? Then it's just 3 weeks and you're done, you know? So it is a bit strange, but it's better than, you know, just prosecuting everyone.
That's true.
Is there a cooldown period? Like, if you get caught two times and then in a month's time you get caught the third time, they still prosecute you? Or if, like, a year later you get your third strike?
Yeah, we're going to have to get across the details of that, I'm afraid. It's something like that.
But just even here, it's so much confusion. There's definitely a lot of anxiety. I think when over New Year's, like, everyone was talking about it, I was heading down to Twisted. I don't think it even applied there, the roadside testing at that time. That's in Golden Bay. But obviously people were like, oh, there'll be checks, you know, roadside checks. So it's definitely, it's on people's minds. Yeah.
And, you know, to be clear, you know, no one's talking about being able to drive impaired. And in fact, the medical defence doesn't apply if you're actually impaired. In fact, the very fact that there is this defence in there shows that they know people are going to get caught who aren't impaired.
Yes.
And they're only giving that defence if you have a prescription.
Yeah.
If you don't have a prescription, that defence is not available to you under the law, which in itself breaches the Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there'll be lots of court cases, I'm sure, that will be all around that kind of stuff.
And everyone was printing out, like, their prescription or making sure they were carrying it on them, but that doesn't.
Well, one thing is, again, that's I guess a little bit different too, and maybe is to the credit of the regime, if there is any credit, is that they're just looking for THC, which is the active.
Yes.
The difference, the trouble is that they've picked a really super low level that doesn't equate to impairment.
Yes.
And everyone gets a different result, so you can't even really pick a number and go, everyone will be impaired at that level. And if you use regularly, you can have kind of just background levels that are just totally not affecting you at all and all these sorts of things. But at least with the slave, it's just active. With the workplace stuff and the urine, it's the inactive. By definition, they're only ever picking up past cannabis use, because when you straighten up and are no longer under the influence, that's when the inactive metabolite appears in your urine.
Mm.
So that's the crazy, I mean, the worst thing about urine the workplace stuff is that it's got absolutely nothing to do with safety.
Yeah. Shout out to Sue Nolan for getting many of my friends fired.
Yeah. Well, yeah, not her directly.
No.
But, the kind of approach where you're looking for inactive stuff.
Yes.
It's basically a proxy for workplace safety. And then everyone gets to walk away and say, oh, job done.
Yeah.
Safe Jesus. Work. But actually, it turns out it isn't.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, the other thing that's been people have been talking about that's quite interesting is if you refuse the roadside test, and let's say that's out of principle because you're just like, this does not measure impairment, or let's say it's because you can't produce the saliva because actually it's two swabs and a saliva collection one. If you're not able to do that, well, it turns out that's just a ticket. So, or just a ticket. It's some demerit points, and I think it's either a $200 or a $400 fine. However, if you actually go through with the test, and if they send a positive swipe thing off to the lab, or the saliva collection, if that comes back over 3 nanograms, which is still very low, that's a criminal offence.
Damn. So you might as well take the ticket.
There's a kind of incentive there to just not do the test.
So it's just the money exercise.
I don't know. It's just again shows it's a bit of a crazy law.
Yeah.
Like, yet again, a drugs law that is a load of bollocks.
Classic.
Yeah, so if that's enough of that depressing kind of start,
it's
well,
looking
move on to the depressing way that they treat medical cannabis users still in this day. There's a couple of stories in the press, and one of them, well, one was medical anyway, a tale of a guy 71 years old who's not getting the treatment he needs and things. Months of codeine, prescription cannabis and dead ends, if you want to have a read of that. And there was another story, though, that was quite interesting. This was a supposed drug dealer who was caught selling a little baggie of cannabis to a migrant worker, an RSC worker, one of the temporary ones that come over to do the jobs that no one else will do. And, you know, once we called them essential workers, and now they're not. So she was doing it to help them, so they didn't get ripped off by, like, unscrupulous underworld types, and but yeah, prosecuted and done. I thought, good on her. Maybe she was an ethical dealer.
Yeah.
There's such a thing.
So that was her defence in court.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Public service.
Yeah. That's right.
That's Manaki Tanga.
Love it. And interestingly though, with the pensioner thing, because we talked last week about that guy coming into Invercargill. It's another pensioner, you know, getting treated badly.
Yeah.
Where the people on the plane were like, oh, this guy smells a bit of weed. And, you know, what if he did have a prescription? Turns out he didn't for what he had on him. It was a gift from some rongoa from Northland, and the police were waiting at the thing. But what if he had got to pull out his prescription and go, who the hell are you lot? You know, accosting a pensioner coming home with their medicine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the difference, of course, is just a phone call.
Yeah.
Hey, the reason I was reaching over here, because of the hemp. That's the final, the other stories of the week, is that hemp, of course, is now legal to plant and grow and possess without a license. Like these little
you're
guys
reaching
here.
Into your jacket and you're pulling out a bag, a small bag.
So these are viable hemp seeds.
Wow.
Which previously you couldn't have, and now you can. You've got to be under 1%, and hemp is generally under 0.3 or even under 0.1, so there's a bit of a buffer. You've got to stay under 1, notify the police before you plant them.
Yep.
And you can grow hemp anywhere you want and by anyone.
What are the uses of hemp that are commonly people...
Well, basically anything you make out of cotton, soy, petrochemicals...
protein.
Which, true.
Yeah. So huge amount, you know, tens of thousands of uses. But like that. Certainly here it's mostly food. You know, we're a food producing country. And also building materials, people doing the stalks. You can get to set like concrete of a process called hempcrete.
Wow. The more you know.
And it sucks CO2 out of the atmosphere instead of releasing it like regular concrete does. So, and this is going to be cool because now instead of having to think, well, how am I even going to do that? If you've got a bit of land, you can just do it.
Yeah.
And whereas before it's like, oh, you can't be inside of a road or you can't have a criminal record. Or so the very people who might be interested if you got caught over the years, well, you're excluded, you know, but now you're not.
Wow.
And you know, communal land like Māori land, eligible now, whereas before it wasn't.
That's really going to change a lot of things, isn't it? Yeah.
We're going to have some growing up at the hemp store. I'll get some of these planted.
Awesome.
And as a bit of a showcase, educational, of course. Yeah. You can come out and check out a hemp plant and see how scary it is or not.
Yeah. And how do you germinate these seeds? Just some...
Ooh. Well, it's just like growing marijuana, really.
I was like, I don't want to ask, but...
well, you know, most people, and I guess it's similar to regular seed growing, you know, growing anything from seed, you're doing a nice little tray and putting a little sprinkle, covering it just slightly, moist, kind of slightly warm, don't let it dry out. But typically with cannabis seeds, hemp seeds, or marijuana, it would be in a damp paper towel, quite often, and then you put that into a baggie like that and kind of seal it up to keep the moisture in.
Yes.
And chuck it in the hot water cupboard.
So I should say the small bag that Chris got out of his jacket is packed full of hemp seeds. And it's, there's heaps in there. Anyway. Yeah.
It's a lot of hemp plants.
Yeah. Awesome.
It's very cool. And so the reason I brought that up too, not only to show off the seeds, but Rural News and Farmers Weekly have both run stories this week. And confirming everything we're talking about, including, of course, that so you can grow your hemp without a license, do what you want with it at home. You can also sell the biomass, probably only more applicable if you've got a farm or something larger. But you can sell the biomass, which can be your bud or leaf. You can sell it to a medical cannabis company. Or you can export it, get an export permit and send it to someone overseas.
Wow.
And you don't need a you need an export permit, but you won't need a license to actually do the cultivation.
Whoa.
So, you know, and I say growing hemp, if you've grown marijuana, you can grow hemp too. And, you know, grow it for the buds, just like that, is just the same. And but it'll be high in CBD, no THC, but or under one. High in CBD and high in other useful things, like your CBG, your CBN, CBV, all those sorts of other. And some of those ones, if you have a strain or can develop that, find one that's high in those other cannabinoids, then you could have a real opportunity selling that to medical cannabis companies or offshore who are looking for ones, particularly things like CBV, CBVN.
Really cool.
Biosecurity, that's the issue. So if you're going to import the seeds yourself, you've got a connection of seeds, you've got to tell MPI before it comes in, as well as tell the police before you plant it, so everyone knows what's going on. But your biosecurity, you have to follow a thing called the, what do they call it? The import health standards.
Now this is important.
Yeah, this is important, and it's your supplier overseas needs to do it at their end, and then you do it at your end, and then everyone's like, great, doesn't have diseases and things on it. And that's really important, so you don't screw up your own thing, but also other people's, and also other crops.
Yeah,
you know, you can have bugs that could come in that could affect other things.
Yes.
So that's really important. Got to do that. That's why they're saying notify MPI. Pollen drift, that's going to be an issue, I guess, too.
Yeah.
You're going to have low THC hemp pollen drifting around a bit.
Yeah. But,
that's an issue all over the world, though, really.
So yeah. So would that be just like wild seeding?
Yeah, what it could mean is that people are growing, low THC hemp in the urban environment. And in the countryside, you know, people could have had to contend with hemp crops for a while now in the country. But now you could be in an urban, you know, with an indoor. So you put a filter on your intake and problem solved.
Do people, people with allergies, is hemp known to be?
Not really. Yeah. Only people who work in extraction factories.
Okay.
Have had, so if they, again, poor ventilation, and you've had people have reactions to just being like immersed in the fumes.
Mm.
That can probably happen with anything. And yes. It's probably more the terpenes and kind of volatile things like that.
Yeah. Cool. Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah, good to know. And then finally, could I extend a heartfelt welcome to Karangahape?
Thank
it's
going to
be so cool having B up there.
We're going to be right across the road.
All right, like right across the road.
Oh, maybe. I can't say where.
In the secret new location.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's yeah. We're actually just, are you awesome. Not leasing us some of the...
Sure, we can do that. We can come to an arrangement.
At the back?
Yeah, at the back.
That's next to the hemp plants, you know?
Yeah. Oh, it's going to make it a lot easier on a Thursday for you.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, it'd be a very short commute.
Yeah.
Much safer than getting on my bike.
Oh, yeah. And that is a notice for anyone driving around Tamaki. Look out for cyclists and share the road.
Yeah.
Right
on. Why aren't you on a bike in the first place, really? But you know, that's a different story.
Yeah.
Stay off the bike lanes if you're in a car.
Exactly.
That's a good one, too. Yeah.
And also, if you're using a Lime scooter, please do not leave it in the bike lane.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Oh, this is going to get really contentious. You thought marijuana was contentious. Now we're talking snippets. Oh, my goodness.
All right. Thank you so much, Chris.
3 days.
We should play some music. But we're so excited to be very close to the hemp store very soon. Can't believe it's happening.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and quick.
Yeah.
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 All right. Well, you know, shout out if you need any help.
Aww. Oh, we will be.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.
Thanks to the Hemp Store. Visit them at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.